Good morning, my mother and my brothers. How you all going? It's good to be here, I can tell you that, yeah? After last week. Yeah, bit of fun. But, no, it's absolutely great to be here. And I really hope that, today, while I'm Plan C, I hope you will definitely have to see what God has to say. So that's good. Anyway, today we're going to look at fear. And I like to look at the opposite of that. I like to look at courage. But it is looking at the context of fear. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. But before we get into the passage, I just want to give everyone a little bit of a context to how we get to this particular point. And so this is God through his leading with the Israelites. Go back a few years and they were in bondage and oppression in Egypt. Exodus 3 verse 9. They were treated very poorly. Exodus 1 verse 12. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and the more they spread abroad. They were able to extend the family from 70 in Genesis chapter 46, and 430 years later, they are a large nation. Exodus 12 verse 37, and about 600,000 men on foot besides women and children. There was a lot of them. They must have bred pretty quick. And I was reading something about the growth rate of that, and they reckon that each family might have had about 27 kids. So they were really multiplying, and they were having some fun, that's for sure. And then they witnessed the plagues against the Egyptians. And then they were led out of Egypt through the Red Sea, in Exodus chapter 14. And that would have been amazing, eh? To witness that. That amazing climax of walking through the Red Sea. They were saved by the Egyptian army. And yep, they went into the wilderness of Shur, where they started to complain. And boy, did they complain, man. Ooh, their complaining was unreal. Now, in Exodus 15, verse 24, what shall we drink? And again, in Exodus 17, 2. And then down in Exodus 16, 3, For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Really? Is that what God did? No. What did God do? He provided. He provided manna for them from heaven and quail in the evening. They were given the law, rules for living. God gave them the law, the earthly rules for life, but God wasn't happy, eh? When as soon as that tablet came down into the midst of the people, here it was, they were all breaking it. And so what does Moses do? He just smashes it to the ground. So then they get another one. The fear to enter the promised land led to many years wandering for the whole generation was gone except for two people. God promised them some land, the promised land, but after 40 days of spying out the land, the people were too scared. This led to about 40 years wandering in the desert, and as I said, only two people survived. And why? Joshua 5 verse 6, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. And Moses too, he wasn't allowed in the promised land. And why was he not allowed in? Because it says in Deuteronomy 52, because you broke faith with me, because you did not treat me as holy. For you shall see the land before you, but you shall not go there into the land that I am giving the people of Israel. Wow, Moses. And so that's where we come to. The Israelites are camped on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And the promised land, the western side. They've already had a lot of victories already on the eastern side, but here they are, they're going to go over to the western side. And it was a moment of handing on the baton from one leader to the next. And there was going to be an important message. And I believe that message is important for us too. God knows they need a little bit of a push to do this one. Because, yeah, the first time when they went through the Red Sea, it wasn't that great, eh? They were pretty fearful. So let's have a look. Let's have a look at this encouragement that God gives. That we're going to see two commands and we're going to see two promises. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. The first command is quite self-explanatory. Be strong and courageous. The Hebrew words for these are quite similar. There's a little bit of an overlap. Strong means to strengthen, prevail, harden, be strong, become strong, be courageous, be firm, grow firm, be resolute, be sore. I thought that was an interesting one. I guess sometimes you can be sore being strong. And then courageous was to be strong, alert, courageous, brave, stout, bold, solid, and hard. This small little phrase, be strong and courageous, that's used many times in the Bible. Three times in this chapter, three times in Joshua chapter 1, 10 times in total in the book of Deuteronomy and 2 Chronicles. They must have needed a little bit of encouragement, eh? They must have needed a little bit of a push. I really like the thought, though, in the definition of be firm. Grow firm. It reminds me of a small little phase often in the New Testament. Stand firm. Two of them that stick out for me are 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. And Ephesians 6 verse 13. Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. I like that military understanding of standing firm. And then also chapter 11, verse 32. But the people who know their God stand firm and take action. I really like that one. And the one thing that we can see very clearly is that the meek are not weak. The first command is to be strong and courageous. It's a command. The second command is a negative affirmation of the opposite of the first. And to a degree, they go hand in hand in the same thing. Do not fear or be in dread of them. Now, when I first read this, I thought, really? I don't know much about fear, but is it really just that easy? You could just command it. Do not fear. This week especially, at home, we've had the kids at home, of course, and I've found out about things that they fear. They fear daddy long legs. They won't go into the bathroom because there's a daddy long legs. And I'm afraid of the dark. I need some more light. Do not fear. Is that kind of work sometimes? I don't know. And I've told you, I've shared this before with you guys, that for myself in my younger years, I used to live in fear of many things. Sometimes it was food. There was some foods I just didn't want to eat. And there's a dang good story on that one on my stag. I'd tell you that now, but I won't go there. But I would have to say overall that it has definitely robbed me of many experiences and opportunities in life. And I'm no psychologist, but I've come across something very interesting on my research about fear. The symptoms of someone in fear is the same as the symptoms of someone in excitement. They're sweating, racing heartbeat, tightening in the chest, the punch in the stomach. It's the same symptoms. There is a surge in cortisol, the hormone for fear and excitement. They come from the same adrenal hormone. The only difference between fear and excitement is what you tell your brain. It's why you see some people who are climbing up a massive cliff. And for some people, you look at them and go, what the heck? You're crazy. You must be crazy. How can you do that? That looks so scary. So fearful for us, right? But for them, in that moment, oh, it is absolute excitement. It's the same emotion, the same adrenal hormone. Unbelievable. Second Timothy 1 verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Wow, there's the key. And what is the self-control over? Your mind, your body. And how can you have this control over your mind? With an anchor thought. And boy, does God give us an anchor thought. What is next in this passage? For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. The first promise is the presence of the Lord. Wow. What an anchor thought. What excitement that would give you to know that God goes with you. That you are in the presence of the Lord. Wow. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Coming back to fear, a few years, in my teenage years and in my 20s, I really struggled to comprehend the concept of the fear of the Lord. In those days, to me, fear had something to do primarily with a phobia, something to stay away from, something to avoid. God wants us to fear Him. Stay away from Him? Avoid Him? Nah, I mean, it just didn't stack up, eh? God wants us to be reverently respectful of Him. In the wise Proverbs, we see four great statements about the fear of the Lord. It is the beginning of knowledge. It is the beginning of wisdom. It is hatred of evil. It is a fountain of life. And even in this book, Deuteronomy, verse 10, verse 12, God gives some requirements to the Israelites. And the first requirement is fear the Lord your God. It's the first one. And then in Revelation chapter 14, verse 7, we see God through the three angels proclaiming as a last type of eternal gospel message. And again, the very first part of the message is what? Fear God. The fear of the Lord is important. I've been fascinated with characters in the Bible who have had this consciousness of the presence of the Lord. Daniel, chapter 10, he stood up trembling. And what was God's response? Fear not, Daniel. And Gideon, in his consciousness, perceived that he was in the presence of the Lord. And how did he respond? In fear. How did God respond to him? Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Judges 6, verse 23. God doesn't want us to run away from him, even if that was possible. God doesn't want us to avoid him. No. No, the exact opposite. God wants us to seek him. 29 times in the ESV translation has seek the Lord. Deuteronomy 4 verse 29, seek the Lord your God and you will find him. What did Jesus say? Luke 18 verse 6, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. We don't run from God, we run to God. God so much wants us to be in his presence that he even sends us his Holy Spirit to live in us. John 14, 16 to 17, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And we've been looking at the series of the Holy Spirit, haven't we? So the first promise is the presence of the Lord. The first anchor thought, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. The second promise is the promise of God's care. He will not leave you or forsake you. The second anchor thought is the promise of God's care. When my girls were young, when they were scared or when they were sick, they would often come to mum and say, I want you. And it was again and again and again, I want you, I want you, I want you. It was quite interesting because here they are, they're in mum's arms, they're on mum's lap, and they're just saying over and over and over again, I just want you, I just want you. Yeah, you got her. Yeah, you can't get any more. And sometimes it made my wife feel quite inadequate. Is my current care not good enough for you right now? But that's not what it's about, eh? They're pretty much saying, I feel safe and protected. And I just want this to carry on forever. I don't want to consider anything else at this moment. One thing to have the presence of God, it is a completely different thing to have the care of God. When you've done the wrong thing, you definitely don't want the presence of God, right? You want to run away. But the best thing to do is actually seek him still. Just 10 verses further down, in this chapter, chapter 31, what is the Lord saying to Moses? They will forsake me and break my covenant that I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them, and in that day I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be devoured. This forsaking is conditional upon us. One thing that's not conditional is God's love for us. That is unconditional. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing, okay? Yeah, sure, God disciplines us, but that's all part of love. So the second promise, the second anchor thought, is the promise of God's care. Now, I want to flip this message that was to the Israelites, and I want to bring it into a contemporary significance for us so that we may be able to grab a better grasp of what God has meant for us here. Do not fear or be in dread of them. Who is the them for us? We've been in the midst of a pandemic for the last 25 months. Lots of changes to our normal way of life. Lockdowns, vaccines, mandates, sickness, death. The government has passed laws which are not in keeping with the law of God. Death, death and more death. Laws about abortion, euthanasia, gender issues. They appear to want to control what we do, what we say, what we can do with our own biological body. Over the years, there have been many occurrences of terrorism and war, and now we have a full-on war with Russia and Ukraine. This has led to major concerns of our economic conditions. House prices have gone ballistic over the last 7 years. I sure know that one. Food prices continue to climb. I know that one too. And inflation is at crazy levels. And the mainstream media has been caught lying, suppressing and manipulating the facts to suit an agenda. Pretty bad, eh? So we've been in a truth crisis, potentially on the verge of a global economic implosion, an authoritative tyranny threat, and a biological crisis. When you focus on all that, it looks pretty dire, eh? Some reasons to be fearful. Where should our focus be? Where should our focus be? It should be on the Lord Jesus Christ, eh? Psalm 119:15. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who has, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Our focus should be Christ. We should always be making appointments with him. I've been really surprised at one verse in Deuteronomy 10:12. And I've always known it, that you want to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. But this one had to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Wow. I really like that thought. Who you love will be who you serve. We can't have two masters. Who do you fear more? God or man? Now, I don't want to scare anybody with some fear. It should be excitement, all right? Many people have been talking about end times. And I love the red letters in Matthew 24 and 25. When the disciples wanted to know from Jesus, Matthew 24:3, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? What did Jesus say in verse 36? No one knows. Then Jesus goes on to tell them something that was important. It's not no one knows, but there is something that we need to be very careful of. Verse 44, you also must be ready. That is the important part. Not when I'm coming, but when I come, you had better be ready. So, how do we get ready? This is the great thing about this passage. Because Jesus just continues to talk to us more about it. He gives us two parables. The parable of the 10 virgins and the parable of the 10 talents. 10 virgins knew he was coming back. Only half were prepared to endure. 3 servants were asked for a return when the master returned. And only one didn't give anything back. How do we get ready? We get prepared. We get involved. And what should we get involved with? There's many things to get involved with. There's things to get involved with right here at this church. Many things. There's so many great ministries that are happening right now here. We have on the eastern side, we have made so much progress. And here we are, in my view, we are at the edge of the Jordan River. What is on the other side? It's the western side. It's the same stuff of what we've been doing. But we've got to keep going. We've got this massive facility now, which is just great to be able to be in our community. But there's one thing we're lacking. We're lacking the army to be involved. That's all of us, hey? Yeah, sure, we've got a team. I would hope there would never be an attitude, they can do it. No, not at all. That is something for all of us to be involved with. What is our mission? What is our mission? It is to know God and to make Him known. The other side of that Jordan is to keep doing the same thing, make Him known. Now, sure, witnessing can be fearful, but it also can be very exciting to see God change one person's heart. That is amazing. That's amazing. Just because one messenger went out there and said something. Just because of sometimes just one thing. Are you going to be that one thing? If there's anything that we should be mindful of, is that if we are in the end times, and I'm not saying we are, but if we are, then that should give us more motivation. That should give us more excitement to get out there, to go. And as that great commission is, make disciples. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your encouragement, Lord. We pray that we will be strong and we will be courageous and we will not fear. Even though we live in these times which are so crazy, Lord, we pray that we would continue to fix our eyes on you, that you will be our focus, that you will be our master and our king, and we will show you that you are our king in the service that we do for you, Lord. Help us, Lord, in this journey. Help us to push over this Jordan and to continue in our community and in this city to proclaim your word clearly and boldly without any hindrance, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are our anchor thought, that your presence, oh Lord, that should give us such excitement. We thank you, Lord, that you can live in us, that you can help us in that journey, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to be fearful.